Hello and welcome to Locked On Suns, part of Locked On Podcast Network. Today is always your host, Evan Sider. I'm joined by co-host Brendan Clean. You can follow me on Twitter at eSider. You can follow Brendan on Twitter at BrendanClean14. Also follow our Locked On Suns Twitter page if you haven't already at Locked On PHX Suns. Your support is very much appreciated as always. We're doing a little fun thing actually over there this week, but we'll get more into that later. But fun episode today, Brendan. We actually had our guest fall through last minute. He's going to be coming on our show tomorrow, but in our last minute thinking of what we're going to talk about today, Brent, we actually came up with a pretty good idea here since the bracket, the March Madness started in about 48 hours. Technically, if you're an ASU fan, it starts in less than 24 hours since the playing game. But the March Madness, I mean, you got to take advantage of it and you got to get on the fun. I mean, the brackets are here and I thought on mine, you thought out yours. And I think we're just going to talk about the March Madness today. How about you?
Yeah, I'm excited. It's like probably the most fun 2 days to be a sports fan, at least in my opinion. I mean, even if you literally don't watch any college basketball all year, you get swallowed up in it. So why don't we dive right in? I want to go through the lottery odds. We kind of hit on it last night with the Suns losing to the Bulls and kind of cementing some distance between them and Chicago. But just for the record here, as we dive into the draft a little bit from a college perspective, the Knicks at 14-57, Suns at 17-55, and Cavaliers at 18-53 all have 14% chance to get the number one overall pick and the ability to take Zion Williamson with that pick. We then have Chicago at 20-52, 3 games down in the loss column from the Suns at the fourth spot, and Atlanta rounds out the top five at 24-47, a real far, especially from the Suns, and 10 games up on the Bulls. Atlanta is pretty far out there at this point, not really a factor. So it's those four teams and then Atlanta. Atlanta follows that, rounds that out with 10.5% chance. So even with them winning, they're kind of showing that maybe this new system for the lottery is actually working, because the Hawks kind of did it the way that the NBA would prefer and went out there and tried to win some games, did it pretty well, especially lately, and they still have almost as high a likelihood to get that first overall pick as the rest of those teams. So just wanted to start there. And then we're going to dive into this weekend, which is obviously the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament, 64 teams, 68 if you count ASU, which I guess a lot of you probably will, but there's a lot of bad teams in those games. So it's kind of hard to even talk about them because we don't know who will be there. So we're probably going to skip those for the most part, but talk about what to watch if you're a Suns fan thinking about the draft this weekend when it comes to draft prospects. And what's the matchup, I guess, the individual game that you're looking at the most when it comes to the draft in this first weekend, Evan?
Ooh, that is actually a really tough question, because I was going to say Ja Morant initially, just because
I think that's the one everybody's keying in on for sure.
It seems to be that way. I'm worried, though, just because I want Murray State to win that first game, because I feel like Florida State, if they win their first game against Vermont, that'll be actually a more tougher test and actually legit test for Ja Morant against NBA athletes. I know Marquette has some of those guys, like Marcus Howard from Chandler, Arizona, but it just seems like that's going to be a fireworks kind of game here. But I'm looking at some different ones around just the bracket here, and there's really a couple ones that stand out to me. And the first one for me is actually Belmont Temple. I know Dylan Windler is someone who I'm actually interested in. I feel like he's a second-round pick. And if they can beat Maryland, I feel like they could actually make a run here in the tournament. He won't surprise me. And also, another name to watch here, I was telling you as we were walking out to the cars yesterday after the game, was Tyler Hero, Kentucky. I know he's going to 15 seed, but he really reminds me a lot of Devin Booker, to be honest. I want to hear your thoughts about that.
Yeah, Hero is somebody that I think you're right to point out for people who might not have been following the season all that much. Hero is, if you just go watch a Kentucky game, they're probably their first round game will not be worth watching, but they're going to probably play Wofford in the second round, which is a really good offensive team. They won, I think, like 20 straight games this year. That could be a fun one to catch Hero, and you'll get excited watching him. He's probably the best shooter in the draft, and he's going to remind people a lot of Devin Booker. Maybe not the version we're seeing today, but the version coming out of college, the sharp shooting, just running around off ball, making teams miserable kind of guy. And he's definitely somebody people should watch, and probably won't be on the obviously lottery where the Suns will be picking, but we've seen this team be active in the draft. We know they're going to probably be making some moves that night. So really anyone, I think, is kind of on their radar. It's going to be a more wide-ranging search for who the Suns might end up with this year, I think, especially after we saw them pull off the Mikal Bridges trade last year. But one game that I'm looking at is actually going to be, I was going to go that Belmont Maryland game because Bruno Fernando is somebody that I'm kind of interested in to see what he does. His team's not as good this year. Kevin Herter left. Melo Trimble, their senior point guard last year, is gone as well. But he's if he reaches his ceiling, he's a 3-and-D big man, and that's a crazy combination of skills. He really doesn't take a lot of threes, but his jumper is nice, and he can knock down the long mid-rangers. So seeing kind of what he does in the context of March will be pretty interesting. But that one, I don't know. I mean, if Belmont doesn't win, I think that gets a lot worse. The other one I would point out is if ASU does win, to see ASU and Lou Dort against Texas Tech and Jarrett Culver in the second round, that'll be a fun one.
Yeah, I actually have that one in my brackets. I'm hoping ASU can pull it off tomorrow against St. John's. But I'm just looking at throughout the bracket here, Brandon, compared to most years, maybe I'm wrong here just because I'm focusing more on this year right now, but it just seems like compared to years past, this bracket, this March Madness period just is really low. As maybe there's like three or four teams, maybe four or five total guys that are really like legit NBA talent in this draft. In this bracket, it just feels like compared to years past, this is pretty thin on NBA crop talent.
Yeah, I think especially in the first round or like first weekend of games, I feel like we usually get more of that like Marquette, Murray State type of competition where it's like a really big test for a lot of guys and on both teams to kind of duke it out. And we won't see that, but I think, you know, the later we get into the tournament, you know, there's a potential we could see, you know, Marquette or Murray State against Gonzaga. That would be fun. Getting a little bit deeper, you know, Michigan, Texas Tech. There's some, it's a very top heavy tournament, I think.
Yeah, it really is. And there's a lot of, like, as far as the one seeds go, you guys know Duke. They have three top five picks. North Carolina has a guy in Kobe White who's rising up boards, and also Gonzaga.
Yeah, that's been crazy. White is, like, suddenly, like, getting, like, top 10 buzz, which I did not expect. I mean, he's kind of picture-perfect guard, but it's like he didn't really do anything out of the ordinary lately, and all of a sudden he's skyrocketing.
Let me ask you this. I have Kobe White in, like, my teens right now. He's really, like, not even like right around like the outskirts of my lottery. I still don't have my lottery just yet. Maybe I'm just a little hesitant on him right now. But Cody Cunningham of Suns.com told me we were waiting for Igor last night that he saw a mock draft that could be White in the top five. Like, I just don't see that.
Yeah, Sam Vecenie put him, who I think is one of the probably the best non-ESPN draft writer there is, had him at 11 in his mock that he released today, going to the Magic. That buzz is out there for sure. I think a lot of well-plugged-in draft guys are hearing that. I don't know which one Cody saw that was had him number five. That's higher than I've ever seen him. But I'm on the same boat with you. I think he's a decision-maker that makes mistakes and isn't always as impactful on defense as you would hope with his size against ball handlers and playmakers on the opposing team. But speaking of North Carolina, that's going to be one of the better second-round matchups if it does happen. Getting to see Washington, who I'm sure ASU fans are unfortunately pretty familiar with, and Matisse Thybulle against that North Carolina team.
Let me ask you a little bit about Thybulle because he's kind of interesting to me. I don't know where to rank him because he's such a good defender, but he's kind of really raw offensively. Where do you put him?
He's already a senior.
Where do I have him?
Yeah. I have him. I haven't really thought about it, honestly. I feel like he's late first round for me. At this point, but I would say I've only caught Washington on off chance when I'm, you know, invested in the Pac-12 from an ASU standpoint more as a fan. So I haven't really gotten to watch him in a good context, which is part of the reason that I'm so excited about that. If he does end up playing North Carolina, because North Carolina, I think, is going to be a fun test for him too, because what makes him tough from everything that I've read is, and watching it, it's a disorienting defense to watch just because they really stick to their zone in Washington. And I think North Carolina playing that up-tempo style is going to – we're going to get to see some more one-on-one situations for him maybe in transition and in different types of situations than we're used to. So that is going to be one that I definitely make a priority just because I haven't really gotten the chance. But I would say he's probably, just from the numbers standpoint, crazy high steal percentage, crazy high block percentage. Obviously, that type of guy we know can carve out a career in the NBA. I would say from a floor standpoint, he's probably decently high for me because I don't love a lot of guys. I guess we'll get to that in the second segment of some second round people. Maybe he's on that list, but I don't, you know, love anyone in the 20s where I'm like, oh, you really got to get him. So somebody like Thybulle with a high floor and solid skill set coming into the draft is going to interest me a little more.
And one more guy that we should hit on here before we go to our next segment. And it's actually an interesting team on this list because I actually have Iowa State going to the Sweet 16 out of this. We'll get into our brackets more later. But we already talked a lot about Jarrett Culver throughout the past few weeks, so I'll keep him out for the time being. But Talen Horton Tucker of Iowa State, I've seen some really high buzz on him lately. Jackson Poyser stepping up, chasing him in his top five. And that's surprising to me, but Jackson's usually pretty good as far as getting guys a couple months early. So what do you think about Talen Horton Tucker? Because when I see him play, he looks like a really gigantic wing PJ Tucker type, but I feel like he's kind of like a Jonte Porter, where if he gets into an NBA system, he's going to look a lot different.
Yeah, he looks physically like PJ Tucker, not quite as tall, but just a physical player, feels the game, has great. You'll watch him. I've tweeted a few clips. If I'm sure most of our listeners follow both of us at this point, they might have seen some of the step back threes. The guy can just make crazy shots that you would never expect him to if you just took a look at him. But one of those guys that statistically really jumps out at you from steal and block percentages, assist to turnover, all the stuff that kind of the stats-oriented draft analytics tend to value, the guys that tend to do well in the NBA, rank high, and all of those things. So he's one of those types of players, very, very one of the youngest players, if you were to declare for the draft, in the entire class. Him and his freshman teammate Tyrese Haliburton are both just incredibly young for their class, and so both of those guys have a step up on the, I don't know, step up, but you know, have that coming in where they're going to get almost an extra year in the NBA compared to some of their counterparts, even other freshmen. So that's obviously a factor. Some teams really value those really young players. The Suns have been one of those with the Devin Booker, Marquise Christog, and Bender picks, but that is a fascinating one. I really wish they had a better draw in the first few rounds. I'm not really excited to see what those guys can do. I think what they did in the Big Ten is more interesting, or the Big 12 is more interesting to me than how they fare against Ohio State or like Houston. But if they were to play Kentucky, that would be fun.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. And in that matchup, by the way, I have Kentucky beating Iowa State in the Sweet 16, but I've seen a lot of Houston buzz lately for the Final Four, and that's really intriguing me. Before we go on to our next segment here, I want to tell you guys really quickly about our Locked On NBA Twitter account. If you haven't already done so, go ahead and go on your Twitter account, follow at Locked On NBA now on Twitter. I believe it's one of the more valuable resources on NBA Twitter because not only do Brent and I have our accounts synced up for our Phoenix Suns coverage you guys love here on Locked On Suns, but we have all 29 other teams covered for you guys in the best way possible. Almost all are credentialed. 5 days a week, we have all the voices you want to hear nationally. If you want to hear the Pacers, the Jazz, everyone else, any other team that you like, we have all of them covered 5 days a week. So if you haven't already done so, go ahead and follow at Locked On NBA and then on Twitter.
I want to remind you guys to take advantage of Homie as well. I guess to compare it to March Madness, we might get some of these guys heading to Phoenix, and they should use Homie to pay for their house, or I guess not pay for, but save a bunch of money on their home. Homie sells their home, can sell their home for a flat rate of just $1,500. That means that, as you've heard me say over and over, Homie customers can save on average over $10,000, which is pretty insane when you think they're only charging you $1,500 and you can save almost $10,000. And they're using that compared to what it typically costs you. The million-dollar home that they sold in the Valley recently saved that homeowner over $60,000 in commission. So if you're looking for those, you know, if you have your eye on the prize, you're targeting that dream home that you just saved up the money for, and it's going to, you know, really break the bank, go to Homie because they are going to make the process just as cheap as they possibly can. They have a team of realtors and attorneys there who are going to help you and support you, make the process less confusing, less troublesome, less complex, which unfortunately can be how it is if you go through a traditional agent to buy your home. They've got your back every step of the way, and you don't have to do this on your own. To learn more about my friends at Homie, text Homie, that's H-O-M-I-E, to 88588. Again, that's Homie. Get out your phone and text Homie to 88588. Alrighty, let us move on here. Maybe just pretty quickly, I'm not going to pretend like I have the whole second round mapped out yet myself, but just guys that we might get a better opportunity to gauge. I think Dylan Windler, who you mentioned at the beginning of our last segment there, was probably one of the guys I would have pointed to in the second round range, you know, somewhere around where the Suns will be picking in the early second round. We've seen them, they really kind of lock on to guys in that range early. We, you know, Tyler Ulis, Davon Reed, Elia Kobo, they've gotten some good talent in that range the past few years. So I think that's worth considering. Is there anyone besides Windler, Evan, who you think might kind of stand out in this tournament that people will be able to see against him a high level of competition and we might be hearing their name come June?
Yeah, as far as in that 30 to 35 range, the Suns keep their second round pick and use it. One name that stands out to me, who's kind of falling down boards a little bit recently, at least that I've noticed, and that's Admiral Schofield. We actually saw him in person, Brian, in November in Phoenix against Gonzaga. He looked really good in that game, but he's kind of been hot and cold here and there. But if Tennessee can get hot in the tournament here, I think Admiral Schofield can really bump up his stock a little bit. And I think he's a monster of a man when you see him in person. I mean, he's more ripped than DeAndre Ayton was. Like, we talked about that in November on the podcast back then, but he is just a brute, and I think he'd be a really good fit as far as culture, defense, and shooting here. I think if he falls, I think in that 30 to 35 range, Brent, I actually like Schofield a lot in that range.
Yeah, I think if you're getting him there, you've got to feel pretty good. I think he's somebody who's probably going to be able to play in the league. I don't know necessarily what his role is. I think that's part of the concern. I mean, they haven't played – they have games where SEC tournament game against Kentucky – Kyle Alexander, their starting five, basically fouled out. And so they had Grant Williams and Schofield as their 4-5 for most of that game. And obviously, I don't think Schofield's going to be able to play center in the NBA when he first gets in. And he's not a great playmaker. You know, he's really just a shooter, has that scoring mentality, but he's not, you know, elite getting to the basket. I think his offensive role is just kind of leave something to be desired right now, filling out that skill set. And he's already a senior. He's already going to be one of the older players in the class, only 6'6", but I think he's one of those guys where you could easily see him just carving out a role in the NBA at the bottom of a roster, being, you know, a seventh, eighth man that really provides both performance on both ends. And we look back a few years from now and think, like, why did that guy not just go in the 20s when he clearly had the talent for it? I would say one that I'm looking at is – here, I lost the bracket – I'm interested to – I don't really think it's somebody that the Suns would necessarily target, but I'm interested to see what Marcus Howard does. We were talking about him last night at the game, and just – you know, he's like the perfect Kemba Walker candidate that people are going to talk about if Marquette can play some defense and he can, you know, just go on a crazy scoring run. Obviously, we've seen that recipe work for teams in the tournament before, but just to prove that he can score against better competition, I think Florida State's – a good matchup for whoever, whether it's Ja Morant or Marcus Howard, makes it to that second game because their defense is so good and they have Cabin Gayle in the middle, who's a huge rim protector. So that'll be fun. I'm really interested to see what Marcus Howard can do.
Yeah, Marcus Howard is a guy who I think – I was 20 last night. I think if he doesn't make it in the NBA initially, he's going to be a guy who's just torching the G League or Europe. I feel like he's a guy who could be a star overseas. But another guy I wanted to hit on as far as late guys go, I don't think the Suns are really interested in him at all, but just as a overall NBA draft prospect, do you think Ethan Happ gets drafted?
I don't – it doesn't seem like it, which is kind of crazy if you think about it, just because of how productive he's been. I was reading, I think, somewhere, he was an all Big Ten first teamer for 3 seasons in college.
Wow.
Yeah, and he's just so productive up and down the box score. It's pretty incredible to think somebody like that won't get drafted. I think it's just questions about his athleticism and all of that stuff. Position, what does he play? Defensively, you know, is he really as good as the numbers suggest? But it is kind of weird.
Yeah, it is, just because I feel like if he had a 3-point shot, I feel like it'd be kind of just like Frank Kaminsky all over again. But unfortunately, that's not been how it is for Ethan Happ here. But I think one more thing I want to hit on, Brent, before we go into our final segment here, just looking at the overall teams that could be in as far as upsets. I know you might not have filled out your bracket just yet, but are there any teams that you're looking at as far as upsets that can maybe make into the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight?
I don't feel like I have those teams this year who I feel good about making it that deep because of what I said at the very beginning. I just think the best teams are so clearly a step above everyone else this year. where I just, it would really surprise me. I don't see like a really solid low seed who I feel great could just knock down one of the best. One that I guess I've been kind of taking a look at, I feel like Tennessee is a two seed that I think is a little bit vulnerable. They've lost some bad games. They've lost to not very good teams this year in the SEC a few times. Weren't able to get it done against Kentucky. So I think that would be one. I don't really know who that would be, though. You know, Villanova, I think you can trust their system to work in March at this point. So maybe them, maybe Old Dominion, who's been getting some buzz. I'm not going to pretend like I've watched Old Dominion. But that would be that part of the bracket. But then you get to the top, and I don't think any of those teams are beating Virginia. So it's just the one seeds are too strong this year, and there's a couple good two seeds as well. So I don't know. I'm not great about it. But I know you went a little crazier, so maybe we can get into that here in our final segment.
Yeah, for sure. I went a little crazy this year with my bracket. And I think if you're joining in our in our bracket challenge, I might finish last place here because I might be a little too crazy. I had Cincinnati actually being Tennessee in the round of 34, so I don't know how that'll end up going for me. But in our next segment, guys, we're going to finish up on our bracket talk. But before then, I wanted to tell you guys really quickly, if you're not already doing so, subscribe to the Locked On NBA show on the Locked On Podcast Network. We do it 5 days a week. We have Josh Lloyd, Locked On Fantasy. We also have Jake Madison helping out, Anthony Irwin of Locked On Lakers as well. So if you're not already doing that, it's one of the more healthier doses of media content you'll get every single day on the Locked On Network. I know Brent and I are actually hoping to help out during the draft here in a few months too. So if you're not already doing so, go ahead and subscribe. Go on your Apple Podcast, wherever you listen to your podcast. Subscribe to the Locked On NBA show, and you really won't regret it because you're going to get a lot of coverage you won't get anywhere else.
And talking about the NCAA tournament this weekend already, it's the greatest betting event of the year. I think that's pretty obvious. I'm sure Vegas loves this time of year as well. I'm sure a lot of you might even be going there. And whether you like filling out a bracket, picking a national champion, predicting first-round upsets, or all of the above, MyBookie is the perfect home for your March Madness fun. Will Zion Williamson and his teammates cement their legacy at Duke with the title? Can Virginia get past its loss to a 16 seed last year? And can Kentucky get back to the Final Four? If you know the answers, or even if you don't, MyBookie is the place to get in on the action. They have something for everyone. MyBookie has been in business for years, and their goal is to give you the best customer service in the whole business. The best part is they pay out very fast when you win, usually within 48 hours of the bet. Bet with the best, kick back, and enjoy March Madness while you watch your picks cash. Deposit with MyBookie today with the promo code LOCKEDONNBA for a 50% sign-up bonus. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA for a 50% sign-up bonus. With MyBookie, you play, you win, and you get paid. All right, let's move on here to where we have things with our Final Fours. Mine is going to be fairly chalk. I don't, like I've been saying, I just maybe it's just that I'm too much locked in and have watched these top seeds too much this year. But to me, it just feels like Duke, North Carolina, Virginia, Gonzaga are four of the better teams that I've seen in a while. I feel like they're four of the stronger one seeds over the past few years. It doesn't feel like any of those teams is really that fallible. I know people are going to say that about Virginia just because they lost to the 16 last year, of course, but it doesn't feel like they're very vulnerable. They have DeAndre Hunter, who people should also try to get some eyes on this weekend, and they're just a stronger team. So anyway, I obviously have Duke coming out of the East. Who do you have?
For the East, I have Duke as well. I think it's pretty easy for them. I really don't see anyone as far as competition in that bracket. As far as upsets in that bracket, though, for Sweet 16 teams, I think it might make some noise. I have Belmont in the Sweet 16, so that's really my only one double-digit seed that really makes it far in that region.
All right. Yeah, I think Virginia Tech playing Duke again will be a fun one if that happens in the East. I don't think they'll beat them, but and then, of course, Duke-Michigan State will be phenomenal if it happens. All right, West, I got Gonzaga, I think. I just don't see – I think Michigan is not as great as their two seed would lead you to believe. I would be – I don't think it can't happen, but Xavier Simpson, their small point guard. If he really makes things happen in March, I will be surprised and I'll be excited to see it happen. But I'm skeptical of their offense a little bit. They have a lot of shooting, but we've seen that not always come through in March. So I just think Gonzaga is probably the one seed I'm least excited about, but still don't see a team in that bracket that's going to knock them out.
I actually am different than you this time. I actually have Gonzaga going to the Elite Eight. But before I get into that, my upset team of this bracket, I looks like I have one almost each bracket here. Murray State in the Sweet 16 with Ja Morant. I'm just betting on Ja Morant to light up the tournament for a couple games here, beating Marquette, then beating 4-seed Florida State, then ultimately losing the 1-seed Gonzaga in the Sweet 16. But in the Elite Eight, I have Texas Tech led by Jarrett Culver upsetting Rui Hachimura and getting the Gonzaga Bulldogs, and then going to the Final Four of the matchup against Duke. And I can't wait. If that's Duke Texas Tech rematch in December happens again in the Final Four, I am very, very excited.
Yeah, that'll be a fun one. I think Texas Tech's the team to watch in this one for sure. If their guards can play well, which they've been playing a lot better lately, if Jarrett Culver doesn't have to do everything for that team, they can win. But I'm skeptical of that because they are very inconsistent. But yep, I got chalk with Gonzaga here as well. Moving on to the Midwest, I'm going Kentucky for this one. This is the only one where I've been kind of back and forth with it a little bit. I feel good about them. I just think that they're a little better defensively than North Carolina. I could see some of their individual talent just surpassing what the Tar Heels are able to do. But who do you have?
I agree with you. I actually have Kentucky going to the Final Four out of this bracket. I have, for my upset team in this bracket, I have 6-seed Iowa State going to the Sweet 16 before they lose to Kentucky. But I'm really betting on just what I've seen out of Kentucky over the last 3 weeks, and especially out of a guy like Tyrer Hero. I feel like he's a guy who could really take over March Madness and really make a name for himself as far as draft stock too. And I feel like this is kind of a perfect opportunity for a guy like Hero to make that happen. So I think Kentucky goes to the Final Four here.
All right, South. I think you told me last night you like Oregon here to make a run, right?
Yeah, I have 12-seed Oregon, my third 12-seed, actually making the Sweet 16.
All right, yeah, I think that will be popular, and that Oregon-Wisconsin game will be a huge clash of styles because they recruit athleticism, they like to get up and down the floor, and Wisconsin is just a grind it out, give the ball to Ethan Happ and see what happens type of game. So that'll be fascinating to watch. I don't know if I buy into Oregon, but I'm sure that they will play their butts off. I mean, they're going to do that. I can't get behind that, I don't think. But I think I'm feeling pretty good about Old Dominion because Purdue, Carson Edwards just chucks and chucks and chucks. I think that team is very beatable. So if I was going to come up with something, if I was going to get crazy with it a little bit, I could see Old Dominion honestly even making it to the Elite Eight.
Whoa.
Because that's a team that people seem to really like. They're one of those mid-majors that just won a ton of games this year. I think they won 28 games or something like that. And so those types of teams, I think, are the ones you look at. So Villanova is not terrifying to me. And Tennessee, I think, is the most beatable top eight team. So I'll go with, if I had to, I might go with Old Dominion making it far. But Virginia is my Final Four team from this bracket. I have all ones in there. Or I guess Kentucky's a two, so Virginia is my third number one seed coming out of the South.
Virginia is actually mine as well. I actually have, hopefully Purdue does not lose because that would really ruin my bracket here because I have Purdue going to the Elite Eight. I have them beating Old Dominion and Villanova and Cincinnati on the way to Virginia. Before Virginia, I think ultimately just blows them out in the Elite Eight. But DeAndre Hunter, I really am selfishly hoping for him to make the Final Four too because I think he's, even though he's a top five, top seven pick consensus nearly now, Brandon, I just feel like he's still super slept on for some reason.
Yeah, he's just not a fun player to watch, I think, is the problem. He kind of reminds me from a viewing standpoint of Kawhi Leonard, just a guy who prefers to just go to work in isolation offensively. I mean, he can play within a team concept, of course. Their offense is pretty good and pretty efficient, but he's at his best when he's kind of just working guys down low and making stuff happen with his jumper and kind of getting around guys, taking his time. So he reminds me of Kawhi Leonard a little bit. I don't think he's nearly going to be that level of NBA player. It's almost impossible to say anyone could be that level of NBA player, but not an exciting guy. But do you think Virginia can avenge their disappointment last year and finally get there? Do you think they can beat Kentucky, make it to the national championship game?
Unfortunately, if we're going to get into our Final Four, it's still crazy for me to think about, Brian, that they lost to a 16 seed. I almost forgot about that in my head.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
crazy to even think about that. But before we go into that, my final four, just to quickly go over it, Duke, Texas Tech, who's a 3 seed, 1 seed Virginia, and 2 seed Kentucky. So I have 2 1-seeds, 2 seed, and a 3 seed. I have Duke beating Texas Tech in that one semifinal. I think it'll be a pretty easy game for Duke to win. And I agree with you. I think Kentucky is going to beat Virginia in this one. I just had that weird feeling Kentucky's going to make a huge run this year. And I think they upset Virginia in that game. And I have Duke, Kentucky in national title again.
That would be – everybody in the country would love that. That would be an exciting one. Better than some of the teams we've seen matched up in the past few seasons. But I actually am not – I'm actually thinking differently. So to go over it again, I have Duke, Gonzaga, Virginia, and Kentucky. But I have Duke beating Gonzaga, which will be another awesome rematch if we get that. That's really the only time Duke has lost to anyone at full strength this season. So that could be their biggest test. And then I actually have Virginia winning. So an ACC, all ACC title game for me, but not the one maybe that people are hoping for with the Tar Heels. I have Duke, Virginia in the national championship. So that game, part four, wouldn't it be part four?
Yep, it would be. I think it'd be second or third with Zion.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. I mean, I think if we could see those teams go at it, I think Duke would pretty handily win because they've beaten them every time this season. But I think I would favor Duke in any game. So I don't know if that's saying too much. But yeah, so we both have Duke winning it all.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think we are both in agreement here. I think we have Duke. I have
surprise,
Duke.
Surprise, surprise.
You have Duke beating Virginia. I feel like almost everyone in the country has Duke because the name of that Zion Williamson. Before we end today's pod, Brian, I wanted to ask you, do you think Duke has any sort of competition here in the bracket? Because I just have a feeling that they're going to be one of those teams. I have their – here's my route for them. I have them being a 16 seed, then UCF, Virginia Tech, Michigan State, Texas Tech, then Kentucky. I wouldn't be shocked if they beat all those teams by double digits at the end.
They're going to beat a lot of teams early by a lot. So I agree with you there. I think Gonzaga, if it ended up going that way for the way I have it, I think, you know, teams that they could play who would challenge them. I don't think Texas Tech is too much of a challenge. They just have way more talent, but I think Gonzaga would be a pretty good test, and so would Kentucky. So we haven't seen them play Kentucky. So that would be, you know, all these other teams they've played, which makes it even easier for them. Their non-conference, they had Gonzaga and Texas Tech. They haven't played Michigan State, but I'm not that afraid of Michigan State. They don't have as much size as I would like against Zion on the wing. So I just think it's hard to craft a way that Duke loses, but maybe Kentucky would be my one chance. So your national title game, I think, might be the biggest test for them if it were to happen. Because they just – I don't know what that looks like. You know, they have – Kentucky has a lot of good players, a lot – they have, you know, they have P.J. Washington inside – so I think that could be a fun one.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's going to be a really fun time here with March Madness. I'm actually looking at our ESPN Tournament Challenge here. If you're not already doing so, we tweeted out on both Brandon's account, my account, also Locked On Suns Twitter account. We're doing a fun thing this year with March Madness to keep you guys involved, also help us be involved as well with our listeners. And it's just our tournament challenge. So if you're not already signed up for it, go on ESPN right now. Click on the link that we put on Twitter. Join us. I'm looking at our leaderboard here, bro. We already have 7 people signed up, so that's pretty cool to see.
Awesome.
Yeah,
go definitely go sign up for it. I mean, it's just for fun, but you can prove that you're smarter than us and that we don't deserve to have a podcast.
Yeah, hey, if you win, maybe we can get you unlocked on some for like a quick cameo and say you got bragging rights on. So congrats on that.
For sure.
Alrighty, guys, that'll do for today's podcast. Appreciate y'all listening in. As always, we'll be back to you guys tomorrow, actually, with a special guest, Sean Devaney of Sporting News. He's going to come on the show for a few minutes to talk about his Luke Walton year culture report from last week, how much legs there is to that still, and moving on as well to the NBA playoffs. So it's going to be interesting to hear what Sean has to say about that. So until then, guys, we'll talk to you tomorrow.